Welcome to Herd Mentality, a podcast from StoneX where we discuss global dairy markets and what's driving them. Remember that the trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. We're recording this Thursday morning, July 25th, and earlier this week, we got the U.S. milk production data for June. It was lower than I was expecting. I was forecasting headline U.S. milk production down 0.7%. Instead, it was down 1%. And the USDA revised down milk production for May. They revised down the size of the dairy herd for the second quarter. It was a generally supportive milk production report. And my tendency is to lean a little bit bearish on the market. So when I get bullish data, the first thing I think about is Dave Krzyzewski. And I wanted to talk to him on the podcast today to get his take on the milk production report and what he may be hearing about supply side out in the country. So Dave, what did you make of the June milk production report?
Well, first of all, I like to think of myself as fair and balanced, Nate. So just understand that. But no, I have been bullish, and I think I've made that clear. The risks, I think, are to the upside. And principally in talking to producers across the country in the past year and sort of dealing with customers. And, I've just seen it's one thing after another on the dairy farm that, obviously I think demand matters, but, this milk production story has been unfolding for some time and it's like, okay, it's playing out kind of like we thought, or at least those producers thought it might. Looking at that report, I mean, I guess if I could throw you a bearish bone, I would say components were up, protein and fat. That's how the producers are paid. They're paid off of those components and they were up 0.7%. So, and we make products out of fat and protein, right? So that is somewhat bearish. So the headline, so I guess that's how do we reconcile? That's the question I have. How do we reconcile the headline milk production number that we've looked at forever with the component adjusted milk production? That's my question for you, because I think that's the heart of this story right now. Components are up, but overall volumes are down. And I think the tiebreaker, if I had to pick one, would be cow numbers. The herd is still underwhelming. We're down 62,000 head from last year. Slaughter is down. So, we're culling less animals, and yet the herd is not growing. Explain that to me, right? It's a replacement story. So I think that is the tiebreaker. But I will go back to that question. What do you think, Nate? How do we reconcile headline milk production versus component adjusted milk production?
The way I've been trying to think about that is just relative to long run averages. If you look at headline milk production, not adjusting for components, just that headline number, over the last 10 years, it's averaged 1.1% growth. In June, it was down 1%. So significantly weaker than the average growth for the headline number. If you look at component adjusted growth over the past 10 years, that's averaged 1.9%. And component adjusted growth for June was up just 0.7%. So it's well below average growth, even after adjusting for components. It narrows the gap compared to the average by a bit, but relative to average, it is still weak growth. And like you said, the cow numbers part of this is what's throwing me off the most, that with the slaughter down as much as it's down, we still can't really flatten out cow numbers. I guess the USDA data does show the herd being flat between April and June, but that downward revision to the initial April numbers does worry me a bit. So it does look to me like production's probably going to run on the weak side for at least another couple of months, because it looks like it's a big struggle to even hold the herd steady. So the June milk production data was supportive for prices, and we did see the cheese market firming in the last 2 weeks. We've seen U.S. non-fat dry milk firming despite GDT declining. We've seen U.S. dry whey prices pushing up to some pretty high levels. Do you think this milk production report is weak enough to push dairy prices above the high side of the range that we've been in?
That's a good question. I mean, but probably in and of itself. I guess it's how people perceive this type of number, right? I mean, ultimately, we called this report bullish, the milk production report this week. But really, you know, this is an old report. It's 45 days old. We made product in June with the milk that was available that we're now looking at as far as the data in June. So, like, it, you know, is it like, should there be a knee-jerk reaction bullish? Well, there can be. I mean, that tends to get pretty muted, though, these days, because we've already dealt with this. But I think what this tells people, if I'm a buyer, for example, or producer for them, anybody look at the market, really it tells me, hey, we still have an issue on the supply side that, you know, is probably going to be something you're dealing with for a little while. And if you need to get coverage, if you need to buy futures or buy cheese or buy these different products, you know, you're not going to get a whole lot of help from the supply side. The demand side certainly could weaken. And that's obviously, we saw that at the end of last year and into the first part of this year. And, you know, I don't know. That wasn't supply driven. That was the demand side of the equation. Things have changed in Q2 of this year for cheese, for example. Things have gotten a little bit more, I mean, demand has improved. And my guess would be that will continue at least going into the fall. And non-fat has been relatively stable, and hasn't had some, you know, it's really been pretty agnostic to all of the news that we've received, whether bullish or bearish, whether, you know, domestic or global, it's been choppy sideways. But I think if I look at it, I say, gee, you know, milk production is tight and remaining tight and hasn't changed. It hasn't started to, we're not growing the herd here. I'm a little bit more concerned about that upside on non-fat for sure. Butter is the one market that does feel a little heavier, even with tight milk. Cream is widely available here this summer, and I am hearing anecdotal comments of additional bulk butter in the country being offered over the past several weeks at even discounts to the spot market. So if you really need to buy bulk butter, you can probably do a whole heck of a lot better than buying it here at the CME spot market.
My answer would be no, that, okay, it was a supportive milk production report. Things are running a little bit weak, but frankly, the demand side isn't spectacular either. Cheese has been better. Again, I've been looking at that compared to long-term averages. So domestic cheese disappearance in January and February, down more than 3.5% year over year. That was incredibly weak demand and did put the spot market down in the $1.40s. But you look at the disappearance numbers, March, April, May, taken as a group, they were up about 1.1%, which is much, much better than the 3.5% decline Jan, Feb. But it's still weaker than the 2% average growth that we've seen over the last 10 years. So cheese demand, yeah, it improved quite a bit since January and February, but it's still on the weak side compared to normal. And I'm not sure there's enough juice out there to really push us to new highs for the year. So once again, you're a little bit more bullish than me. So far this year, you've been right. I do think this weak supply story is going to be with us for a while. I'm a little bit cautious about July because we're starting to lap over some very weak numbers last year, and that might give us some surprise strength in the year-over-year numbers. But as long as those cow numbers struggle to flatten out, we're likely going to see some continued weakness for production.
Well, I agree. I mean, you have a very sober view of it, and I definitely think there's merit to that because demand obviously matters. What I think happens when you have milk production relatively tight and underperforming, and you know the issues on cows, these things, what happens is that I think it removes some of the downside risks potentially. In other words, you know, when we get dips, at least at this point in time, that might change in 3 or 4 months, but like when we get dips, people look at those as opportunities to buy. Because I think against the ballast of backdrop of poor performing milk production, there are questions and as to, you know, hey, if I can get it today at a little bit of better price, I better, you know, get while the getting's good kind of thing, as opposed to I see a whole wall of milk, you know, we're you know, flush with milk and we've got, you know, all kinds of productive capacity. This is going to work out really well for me to sit on my hands and do nothing. And I think evidence of that was already seen here around the July 4th holiday. Things got quiet. Buyers backed away a little bit. There was actually more cheese brought to the exchange. But guess what? They bought every single load between 195 and 185 on barrels. You know, they didn't, they let the market come down, and now we're back over $1.95. So I guess the most, if I was going to say neutral, I think we can hang around and maybe that's the right thing, right around this $1.90 mark, you know, for the next several weeks or well into the fall. Maybe everything's okay around this price level. I see the risk being if someone needs to get something done, I don't think it's going to be the seller. I think it'll be a buyer.
That's fair. With that, thank you for your time today, Dave.
You got it, Nate. Anytime.
The StoneX Dairy Team spans the U.S., EU, Asia, and Oceania, providing market intelligence, analysis, and forecasts through our interactive data platform called StoneX Plus, as well as full-service brokerage on the major dairy exchanges, the CME, EEX, and SGX. If you're interested in finding out more about our market intelligence or brokerage services, you can find more information on StoneX.com.
This communication is issued in the European Economic Area by StoneX Financial Europe SA, SFE by the SFE presenters noted. StoneX is the trade name used by StoneX Group INC and all its associated entities and subsidiaries. StoneX Group Inc. companies provide financial services worldwide through its subsidiaries, including physical commodities, securities, exchange-traded and over-the-counter, under derivatives, risk management, global payments and foreign exchange products in accordance with applicable law in the jurisdictions where services are provided. References to certain over-the-counter ROTCA products or swaps are made on behalf of StoneX Markets, LLC SXM, a member of the National Futures Association NFA and provisionally registered with the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission CFTC as a swap dealer. SXM products are designed only for individuals or firms who qualify under CFTC rules as an eligible contract participant ACPA and who have been accepted as customers of SXM. Wealth management is offered through SA Stone Wealth Management Inc., member FINRA/SIPC, and SA Stone Investment Advisors Inc., and SEC Registered Investment Advisor, both wholly owned subsidiaries of StoneX Group Inc. StoneX Financial Limited SFL is registered in England and Wales, company No. 5,616,586. SFL is authorized and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority registration number FRN 446717 to provide to professional and eligible customers, including arrangement, execution and, where required, clearing derivative transactions in exchange traded futures and options. SFL is also authorized to engage in the arrangement and execution of transactions in certain OTC products, certain securities trading, precious metals trading and payment services to eligible customers. SFL is authorized regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority under the Payment Services Regulations 2017 for the provision of payment services. SFL is a Category 1 ring dealing member of the London Metal Exchange. In addition, SFL also engages in other physically delivered commodities business and other general business activities which are unregulated and not required to be authorized by the Financial Conduct Authority. StoneX Financial Europe SA. SFE is a securities trading firm registered in the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg under company No. RC Lux B 10821. SFE is authorized by the Luxembourg Ministry of Finance and regulated by the Commission de Surveillance du Secteur Financier registration No. P00000012 to carry out, inter alia, the activities of investment advisor, portfolio manager, professional acting on own account, broker in financial instruments, and commission agent. StoneX Financial T. Limited Co. Reg. No. 20113059 8R SFPA holds a capital market services license and is regulated by Monetary Authority of Singapore, IMASA for dealing in exchange-traded derivatives contracts, OTC derivatives contracts and spot foreign exchange contracts for the purposes of leveraged foreign exchange trading. StoneX Financial HK Limited C. No. BCQ152SHK is regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission for dealing in futures contracts. StoneX Group Inc. acts as agent for SFL in New York with respect to its payment services business. StoneX Financial T. Limited acts as agent for SFL in Singapore with respect to its payment services business. The information herein is not a recommendation to trade nor investment research or an offer to buy or sell any derivative or security. It does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation or needs and does not create a binding obligation on any of the StoneX Group Inc. of companies to enter into any transaction with you. You are advised to perform an independent investigation of any transaction to determine whether any transaction is suitable for you. This material should be construed as the solicitation of an account, order, and/or services provided by the FCM Division of Stone X Financial Inc., SFID NFAID 0476094 or Stone X Markets LLC SXM NFAID 0449652 and represents the opinions and viewpoints of the individual authors or presenters and does not necessarily reflect the viewpoints of SFI or SXM. It does not constitute an individualized recommendation or take into account the particular trading objectives, financial situations, or needs of individual customers. Additionally, this material should not be construed as research material. The trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter OCC products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and you should fully understand the risks prior to trading. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. All references to and discussion of OTC products or swaps are made solely on behalf of SXM. All references to futures and options on futures trading are made solely on behalf of SFI. SXM products are intended to be traded only by individuals or firms who qualify under CFTC rules as an eligible contract participant ACPA and who have been accepted as customers of SXM. SFI and SXM are not responsible for any redistribution of this material by third parties or any trading decisions taken by persons not intended to view this material. Information contained herein was obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but is not guaranteed as to its accuracy. Contact designated personnel from SFI or SXM for specific trading advice to meet your trading preferences. SFP may distribute analysis/report produced by its respective foreign affiliates within the Stone X group of companies pursuant to an arrangement under Regulation 32C of the Financial Advisors Regulations. The analysis/report is only permitted to be distributed in Singapore to a person who is an accredited investor, expert investor, or an institutional investor as defined under Section 4A of the Securities Futures Act Singapore. Recipients should contact SFP at 656-309-1000 for any matters arising from, or in connection with, the analysis or report distributed. Stone X Financial Pte Ltd Co. Ranch, No. 20113059-8R SFP is regulated by the Monetary Authority of Singapore MAST. SFP holds an MAS Capital Market Services license for dealing in securities, units in collective investment schemes, exchange-traded derivatives contracts, OTC derivatives contracts, and spot foreign exchange contracts for leveraged foreign exchange trading, and is an MAS-exempt financial advisor. Stone X Financial HK Limited C.No. BCQ 152-HK is regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission for dealing in securities and dealing in futures contracts. Stone X Financial Thai Limited SFA Akin 14177-4727 holds an Australian financial service license and is regulated by the Australian Securities and Investments Commission AFSL 345646. Stone X Securities Co. Limited SSJ Co. Reg No. 01040104719 is regulated by the Japanese Financial Sir. ISIS Agency as a Taipei Financial Instruments Business Operator Kanto Local Finance Bureau FIBO No. 291 is a member of the Financial Futures Association of Japan for dealing and broking FX and FX option transactions and is a member of the Japan Securities Dealers Association for dealing and broking stock indices and option transactions. No part of this material may be copied or duplicated in any form by any means or redistributed without the prior written consent of Stone X Group Inc. Copyright 2024 Stone X Group Inc. All rights reserved.